your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. I'm super excited to welcome Juanjo Feijo, Chief Marketing Officer at Weedmaps. And I've been following you guys for a long time. And Juanjo, really excited to have you joining us today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. So, you know, Juanjo, you have a pretty amazing background. You have great experience in, you know, building companies, especially on the hyper growth side. You know, you've obviously spent time at Adobe and Google and Instacart, and really having kind of a wide variety of different roles from marketing to logistics and operations. And, you know, I'm curious, you know, from you, just to kick off the show, like, what was it that led you to Weedmaps? You know, obviously a tech veteran, you know, in the digital space, and, you know, now moving over to an amazing company in the cannabis world. Just curious, what was it that kind of tuned you into Weedmaps?
Yeah, you know, I think like most stories of how people choose roles, there's some part serendipity, you know, some part opportunity, and then just right place, right time. So, you know, like you said, I've been living in San Francisco, been working in tech for a while. At the time, I was at Adobe, which was a shift I'd made from Instacart, and, you know, those personal reasons why it made sense at the time. But I feel like, you know, after I left Instacart, I always knew that I wanted to go back to something smaller, that was kind of like in a faster kind of like a stage of growth and a little bit more immaturity. I think that aligns with my interests and what I'm most successful at. And, you know, the opportunity came up very serendipitously. You know, a recruiter contacted me originally about a different role, and we got to chatting, and it turns out she was recruiting for this role too. And, you know, I have a little bit of a personal history with cannabis. You know, a family member who were not for cannabis, you know, may not be here today. And so, you know, it's been an industry that I've been intrigued about. So that's kind of what led me to have the initial conversation. And then when I met the team, you know, Chris, our CEO, and some of the rest of the team, I was very impressed by the story of Weedmaps, by kind of like the role that the company is also trying to take as a leader in driving the industry forward and destigmatization forward. And it just seemed, you know, it seemed like everything had come together for a unique opportunity. And, you know, 2 years in, it's my favorite job I've ever had.
I love it. I love it. I think you guys started the company back in 2008. And you guys really made a pretty significant splash. And, you know, when we look at this past year, especially with the pandemic and cannabis just really moving forward very quickly, you know, how do you see Weedmaps from when you started to where you are today that has really helped move the category forward in such a profound way?
So yeah, you know, we've been around for 13 years, which is a remarkably long time when you think about this industry. And certainly, you know, I have tremendous respect for the work that the early Weedmaps employees, you know, some of whom are still around at the company, did. You know, it was a very, very difficult industry to work in. You know, there's all sorts of constraints that, you know, when it came to accessing funding, banking, insurance, getting people to want to sort of like work for the company. So at the time, the company was kind of focused on the medical market in California, which had obviously been legalized, you know, in the 90s. But the piece that's interesting about legalization in California, right, like medical cannabis in California came about not technically through legalization, but through creating an exemption to a criminal law, which inevitably meant that there was all this confusion around how you actually can operate. And that was not only true for operators in the industry, but also for consumers. And so I think the opportunity that, you know, the founders saw was really to figure out how do you actually, you know, bring all the access that that the internet has sort of enabled to consumers of this industry that, you know, was quite frankly, way, way underserved. when it had such an important role to play, I think, in society. And so, you know, and since then, not only weed maps, but the industry has evolved and matured greatly. And so, you know, today we're, you know, we have over 10 million monthly users. We have over 16,000 listings, you know, across not just the US, but internationally as well. And it's just such an interesting story of basically a company that has grown in parallel to an industry and really with a focus on trying to help enable the two sides of the industry, the consumer and the business side of the industry, engage and work together. And, you know, like the list of challenges is not short that continue to exist, from, you know, lack of data normalization, you know, brands or something that is so nascent and so different market to market in cannabis, you know, lack of information and understanding and resources. And so, you know, we see our role on the consumer side as really being an enabler for consumers to really be able to shop cannabis, you know, as much as possible, you know, within kind of compliance requirements, as they would shop any other good. And from our business perspective on our B2B offering, we really see ourselves as, you know, the ultimate kind of like centralized solution for retailers and brands to be able to serve their customers and run kind of like efficient and compliant operations.
Cool. I wanted to ask you, just because, you know, we had, you know, the Adweek folks on the show a couple of weeks ago, and you know, that's how I, you know, kind of met you. We were both on that Clubhouse a month ago. And, you know, we were talking about all of the traditional brands around 420 and how they were taking part, like non-endemic. And so I'm curious for, you know, on from you, you know, how did Weedmaps really celebrate 420 this year?
Yeah. So, you know, I think our main kind of like consumer point of celebration was this event that we called Even Higher Together. So for a little bit of context, last year, you know, we had big 420 plans like we do every year. We were going to sponsor mm-hmm. several events across the country. And obviously with COVID, you know, everything shut down and we had to kind of pivot. And we put together what I thought was a very engaging live stream that kind of happened, you know, came together in 5 or 6 weeks. So it was kind of it was kind of a mad rush, but I think it came together pretty well. And this year we decided to do something comparable because, you know, we were talking about, are we going to be okay to sort of like start doing something out in the field again? And it became clear kind of, you know, late Q4 when kind of like the second wave was hitting in the US that the responsible thing to do would be to offer an opportunity for people to, you know, stay home and stay safe again. And so we put together another virtual event. You know, we upped the level of talent, production, everything. You know, we had ASAP Rocky, we had Mike Tyson, we had Janae Aiko, Toki Monster, we had a cypher done by Wiz Khalifa and Taylor Gang. Mm-hmm. You know, 750,000 people tuned in to watch. You know, it's unbelievable to get that size of audience for a cannabis type event. And so that was mostly what we put together on our side. And then, of course, you know, we use those opportunities on our platform to also help our clients and our retailers sort of like reach consumers, you know, on such a critical date as well.
Cool. So, you know, while we're talking about advertising, I definitely wanted to pick your brain on this, and only because it's been in the news, you know, so much, but California in particular, you know, there's been, you know, a ton of back and forth on legislation and laws around billboards. Mm-hmm. And I know for sure that you guys have definitely done billboards in the past. And so, you know, one, you know, obviously being a digital company, you know, why billboards? And two, you know, has any of your strategies today, you know, been impacted by all of these changing rules and regs with, you know, obviously, you know, I was in our platform, you know, in Canter Eggs the other day, and it's like, okay, 15 miles from the state border, but then not on an interstate. It's very confusing. So I'm just curious with you guys, like, you know, one, again, just to repeat, why did you guys choose to do billboards? And also, has it impacted your strategy at all?
Yeah, you know, so I'll take it half a step further back, right, to say that if you think about many of our marketing offerings for clients, right, like they actually anchor on this belief that it is incredibly hard to reach regular cannabis consumers, right? I think there's obviously some variability by state or by country, but for the most part, active cannabis consumers make up 12 to 13% of the population, right? And so I think billboards are something that became effective in cannabis largely due to a lack of other alternatives, right? Billboards are essentially their brand marketing tool, not so much kind of like a performance marketing tool. And it's not like there's a whole lot of brands in cannabis that are truly trying to build, long-term brands across broad industries, because I don't know if the industry's there from a maturity perspective. So I think billboards were mostly kind of an avenue that's open to us, so let's take it. From Weedmaps' perspective, you know, we've seen pretty big success when we've done billboards, but only when we've really gone pretty broad with them, right? I think a couple billboards in a few locations doesn't necessarily work all that well. It's still a part of our toolkit and something that we use and kind of like we deploy at key moments. You know, in key markets, we definitely like to look at premium billboard locations. For 420, we took over the largest billboard in Times Square, for example. For the last year in LA, we had the biggest billboard in Los Angeles, where we did a 420 celebration every day. And I think it's going to continue to be that in markets that we're entering, I think we do tend to take more aggressive, blanket the state type approaches to billboards, because they work. You know, when you're first trying to get your name out there, I think it definitely makes a difference. And obviously, every state is different, right? So you have California, where our interpretation of the regs, but obviously, you guys are expert on this, is that it applies to licensees, right? So we don't necessarily feel like we're necessarily restricted in the same way as a licensee may be, but it's something that we certainly take into account. And then there's other states where, there's even more conservative advertising regulations, thinking places like Montana or Pennsylvania. And so it's a complicated market to operate in. It's a complicated market to do marketing in. And that's, I think, where, much of our success as a company has come from is we actually allow clients to reach active cannabis consumers, while they're kind of like researching cannabis and researching products. And I think that's incredibly powerful because we give you very efficient spend, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think, when I think Weedmaps, I really think about, okay, Weedmaps is a place to go for me to find basically anything that I'm looking for as far as cannabis related products. And I could, obviously see local listings from retailers and just a great, discovery tool. I think as we're starting to see, more legalization expand, obviously this year through COVID with New York and New Jersey and New Mexico, like it's like a domino effect now. I'm just curious from you, like, how do you guys look at this from a state-by-state marketing strategy? Because obviously some states are medical only, some states are medical and rec, some are don't have anything yet. Like, how do you guys have that lens into how you guys actually plan on onboarding states?
Yeah, it's very complicated. I always joke with candidates that I may be interviewing to join Weedmaps that when you think about us being a primarily US-based company, in reality, it's not true, right? Like it's actually closer to, I had some experience in the past working on international products where the reality is that, California and Oregon cannabis markets are more like, France and Germany than they are kind of like, two regions within the same country. And they truly operate differently. With very different regulations. And so we do everything at a state-by-state level, right? Like there's actually not that many national campaigns that we run. And so it's a ton of work. And, we're privileged to have a large team that can spend the resources to think about it. but like very genuinely, you know, we have weekly meetings where we're going state by state, like, hey, what can we do? You know, we have kind of like a legal and compliance matrix. We kind of like review our performance in different states, but it's even understanding the commercial differences state by state, right? Where you have markets that are so MSO heavy, you know, I'm thinking a place like Florida, it's like medical only market. But where you have, you know, Trulieve essentially has, I believe, over 50% of sales in the state, right? So it's very much kind of a single retailer market in many jurisdictions within Florida, right? Like where it's, you have kind of Trulieve, and then you have, you know, Columbia Care having a sizable number of locations as well. But but it's basically around like, hey, how do we help these two retailers primarily? And you contrast that with, you know, in Oklahoma and, you know, even at California, where you're actually, it's more about like, hey, how do we actually help create a healthy marketplace that allows, you know, hundreds of retailers to compete? And then you have, you know, the nuances in California of the role that delivery plays. Delivery is huge in California.
Massive, yeah.
And not that big in most other states, you know, not legal in many states. And even in many other states that it is, it's not necessarily, but then we start to see other states that have regulations that maybe seem that they may end up nudging towards where California is. I'm thinking, you know, Massachusetts, kind of with the new delivery licenses that they're issuing there. So it's just, that's part of what I find so fun and fulfilling about working in this industry, right? It's like, it's always kind of like an intellectual challenge to think about how to solve these different challenges and different problems. And obviously always having to do so with a very big kind of like compliance mindset, because the downside of getting it wrong is very high, right? Like in particular, when you're enabling clients, you know, if you don't help them stay compliant and they lose their license, that's it, right? Like it's hugely damaging to you and to the retailer. And so it's a interesting, but also very fulfilling challenge to try to solve.
Totally. Now I noticed that you guys, obviously you do a ton of stuff around news, but you're also doing docuseries.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your content strategy there? Like how are you guys envisioning all those?
Yeah. So, you know, I think when it comes to content as a whole, I think that, as sort of like the largest player in the industry, we feel like we have a duty beyond sort of like pure commercial intent to drive the industry forward and to help, you know, correct misconceptions and have accurate information out there. I think that's, you know, on things like strains, that was one of the big reasons why we accelerated work on the platform, is because there was a lot of information out there that, you know, anybody who knows about cannabis just could look at, you know, certain resources out there and be like, yeah, this is just fundamentally wrong, right? And so making sure that there's like correct and accurate and reliable information, we thought was important. And I think, you know, some of the docuseries work like Uprooted, which we did last year, which kind of dives into the history of how legalization happened in California, but also what California didn't get right about legalization, is a little bit of us thinking that we also have a role to play with informing consumers about the history of the industry and the realities of the industry today, because there's a lot of just a lot of misconceptions around, you know, the regulations, around how things came about the current state of, you know, obviously the legal market, but also kind of like the gray market and the black market, and a lot of the questions that exist around that, right? Where, you know, a lot of times I think operators that served the cannabis industry for 20 years, you know, since 96 in California, were a lot of times being, you know, portrayed as bad actors when the reality is that they got stuck in a broken system, right? Where perhaps they were in a jurisdiction where, you know, the local city or county decided not to issue licenses, and you know, they were forced with a decision of like, hey, do we stop serving patients that we have, you know, terminal patients that need this medicine, or what do we do, right? Like they were kind of like caught between a rock and a hard place, and you know, certainly we think that we have an important role to play in driving compliance in the industry, but also highlighting that it's a more complicated and nuanced story than, you know, we often hear.
Mm, totally. Makes a ton of sense. Well, a lot of great insight. And, you know, again, like I told you in the beginning of the show, just, you know, you guys continue to, you know, push the lever in the industry and really advance the space. So, you know, keep up the great work. And, you know, if you listen to the show before, we always talk a little bit about business in the beginning. And then, you know, we just end the show with some fun, quick fire questions. So are you ready?
Let's go.
Okay. So first question, what is your favorite food?
It's Argentinian barbecue.
Hmm. I'm thinking about lunch right now. So that actually sounds very good. Although I don't know where I'd be able to get that right now. Okay. So obviously we're starting to emerge from the pandemic and starting to, you know, somewhat go back to, you know, the things that we used to do, but I'm just curious, you know, for yourself, is there anything that you may have learned about yourself during the pandemic that you didn't know about before?
Yeah. You know, I think, the biggest thing has probably been, it's kind of been a reminder of the value of spending time with my wife and my son. You know, it's obviously as somebody who, you know, has to frequently travel and be away for work, I think it had become a little bit of an assumption that you had to do that mm-hmm. at work. And I think, yeah. You know, learning that, hey, a lot of those things you can probably do virtually. And yeah, maybe they're not the same, but the cost benefit of having to be out in the field and balancing work needs with being able to spend time with, you know, your family, I think is something that I've certainly kind of recalibrated my compass on in the last year.
I hear that a lot from people too. Do you happen to have your phone on you right now?
I do.
What was the last picture you took?
Well, it's a picture. So my son was in hospital yesterday because he got a cut to his face. So it's a picture of the wound that we had to show the doctor before we went to the ER.
Oh my God. I hope he's okay.
He is. He, you know, it's not fun to have to stitch up a toddler, but we got through it and he's doing okay. He got some Legos out of it. So hopefully he has a pleasant memory out of it in the end.
Cool. Well, listen, this has been great and, you know, really fantastic to have you on the show. And again, for everyone listening, Juanjo Feijó, Chief Marketing Officer at Weedmaps. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeff. You know, I hope this is the first of many conversations.
I love it. I hope so.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.